So, when Martin sends around the preaching rota, I always look first to see when I'm on, when I'm on next, and then I look to see what topic and passage I've been given to preach about, and I'll take some time to pray about it and think it over slowly, and normally a sieve, an idea will sprout slowly, and I'll read and listen to other preachers and thinkers, and then that blank Word document I'm staring at slowly takes shape and turns into a talk of some kind. However, this time around, I read the topic that I had for today, and it just said, stand alone. Now, the Bible section passage was blank, and I stared at this for a long time, trying to think what it meant, like, be more self-sufficient. And I thought, that doesn't even seem Christian. And then I was like, maybe it's about how we need to stand apart. And then I looked at the rest of the rota and saw that a few other people had also been given this same topic, stand alone. And it slowly dawned on me that it wasn't a topic. It was just letting me know it was up to me what I wanted to preach about. So I have to admit, all of a sudden, I felt there was a big weight of responsibility, because every other time, I feel like I can kind of blame Martin if it goes wrong. I didn't choose the topic or the passage. But, you know, this time, you're just going to have to take me as I am. So one thing I should say, and I've said this before, that sticking to one clear point is not my spiritual gift. My gifts are enthusiasm and encouragement, loads of other things, but clear focus, not me. But that means that normally when I have an idea, it's like a scattershot approach. I have lots of good ideas and they spark off each other. You guys have to put it in order yourself. But in Britain, people love DIY, so you know this should work out well. So I've been praying and thinking about what God's been saying to me. And I felt it was really clear, and I'd written down loads of stuff, and I thought it was good stuff too. And then all of a sudden on Wednesday evening, I had this amazing long conversation with a pastor who leads a church in my hometown in Canada. And I felt so inspired and excited that I felt like I needed to share some of that conversation excitement with all of you. However, one thing I thought I'd kind of just point out, a few weeks ago, we had a virtual away day. Huge thank you, Jen. It was amazing. And we refocused our vision on growing together and serving community. And I absolutely love this. It gives us such a clear outward focus as a church. And the idea of serving community really speaks to me. I love that it aligns so perfectly with the Great Commission. Dom, if you want to get up that the one verse I've got. So the Great Commission is found at the very end of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18. And it's where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you. And I am with you, always, even to the end of the age. Another, the other huge verse that I love that kind of ties this together, later on in the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus goes on to tell the disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is such an amazingly powerful passage. It's so big. Now, one thing that was pointed out to me in this book that I've been reading, it's called Transformation by Ed Silvoso. Huge, amazing book. Highly, highly recommend it. He points out that Jesus doesn't call us to make disciples of individuals. He calls on us to make disciples out of nations. So for us as a church, what that looks like is we are to make disciples out of Bulwark and Thornwell, and then Chepstow, and then Wales. It's a big vision. God is longing to transform Bulwark and Thornwell, and I believe that out of that, to radically transform Wales. And he's done it before. You know, about 100 years ago, there was a revival in Wales that had huge impact around the world, which is just amazing. God's plan for Bulwark and Thornwell is us. It's you. So as a church, our twofold vision is to grow together and to serve our community. And I believe that's such a practical way for us to reach out and disciple our nation, starting with our local community. But I think a useful question is, so what makes up a community? So this book, there's some central pillars, and this book was really helpful. Again, highly recommend it. And it talks about, you know, we've got businesses, the local government, the schools, the shops and all of these things. And right at the center of all of that is the church. And I believe incredible things can happen when all of these work together. So thinking about this prompted me to get in touch with this pastor from my hometown in Canada, Dave Carroll. I want to give you just a little bit of background about Brantford before my conversation with Dave. So in my province, and actually maybe even my country, Brantford was always the butt of all the jokes. As a city, it should have thrived. You know, it's perfectly situated between three other big cities. It's got lots of really good stuff going for it, but it never really seems to land on its feet. There used to be three huge factories in the city that employed most people there, and then about 35 years ago, all three of them shut at the same time. And then kind of after that, the city didn't really know who it was. So our downtown became a bit of a hollowed-out shell. It was bleak and empty. And in fact, it was so bad that they literally used it as a set for a horror film, and I don't think they actually changed all that much. Almost all the shops were boarded up, and at some point, somebody had the idea that maybe it wouldn't look so bleak if we painted silhouettes on these boarded up shops, and I can honestly tell you it's much more horrific with painted silhouettes on boarded up shops. We actually, at my high school, had, I think, the highest teen pregnancy rate in the country. We had a giant creche built on site. But I've now actually been in the UK longer than I lived in Canada. So it's been 20 years since I was in my hometown. So everything I remember about my city is 20 years ago, and the occasional visit 4 or 5 years apart, and only for a brief moment. So it's kind of far from me. Now, at the same time as I came over to the UK, Dave Carroll, who I spoke to, he'd been living in West Africa. And while he was out there, he'd read the precursor to this book, which is called That None Should Perish. And him and his wife felt that God had prompted them to move back to Brantford, and he was calling them to transform their city. I'm going to give you a spoiler. When I visited Brantford a few years ago, I didn't recognize the city. It had been transformed, and it was continuing to be transformed. And I couldn't put my finger on what was happening, but honestly, it felt like a different city. We were there only there for a short time, and this was a few years ago. And like I said, it's been chunks apart, but I immediately noticed that there were actually businesses thriving downtown. The downtown felt like a place I wanted to visit. There was a sense of community and friendliness, and it had gone from this seedy and bleak environment to a place of hope, a family city. And then a few years ago, my mom sent me this link from a local newspaper, and it was talking about the transformation that had taken place in Brantford, and it was getting noticed across the country. An article spoke about this church, Freedom House, and how they'd been instrumental in the transformation of the city. So I'd actually like to show this short video that was put together about that transformation, and then I'll talk about some of the highlights and insights from my conversation with Dave. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, the video is a bit over the top and cheesy. That's because it's Canadian and that's just how we roll. You got to love us as we are. But listen for the heart of the message. So Dom, if you're able to throw the video up, and I'll step to the side.
Toronto, provincial capital and eastern gateway to the beautiful nation of Canada, is just a short distance from the majestic Niagara Falls. Just 1 hour west lies Brantford, home of Alexander Graham Bell, inventor of the telephone, and the greatest hockey player of all times, Wayne Gretzky. Firmly believing that a city could be transformed, it was a team of local pastors who took some courageous steps to make their faith relevant to the community.
We made Ed's book the foundation of who we are. And so we had bought an old bar in the downtown, and on Saturday night it was a bar, we got it on Sunday it was a church.
We decided that it was time for the church to get outside of its four walls, get onto the street and begin to meet felt needs. So we created Flippin' Fridays. Every Friday night for 9 years, we serve hundreds and hundreds of free burgers and hot dogs, and it's like dropping a kindness bomb on the streets of Brantford each time.
Many of the city churches started working together under a unified banner called The One Church.
We started serving inside schools. We developed Captain Kindness, this crazy local superhero who says that Brantford can be changed by good into good with kindness.
It's a mighty city. Yeah!
Everybody loves a party, but not everyone loves cleaning up after the party. So the day after Canada Day, we've come to serve our city again and clean up this park.
If you want influence, you have to have involvement. It's very simple. And so there's no mystery to this. There's no mystery to city transformation. It's serve, it's get involved, it's build relationship. It's very, very easy. We're always trying to find a new innovative way to get outside of the church. That's really what we do. And so for years, we'd actually been looking at this idea of doing a public baptism.
I had a dream about a newspaper ad that said, "Who's welcome?" And it said, "Pimps and prostitutes, and fat people, and skinny people, and winners and losers," and all these sort of inflammatory words. We just saw many churches come together and saw nearly 100 people baptized in the middle of the city. How does it get better than that?
Brantford is an example of ordinary people uniting and transforming their city, both physically and spiritually.
Our unified goal is to see transformation of the city, which I think we're closer to now than we've ever been.
It is evidence that where there is unity, God commands his blessing.
So, over the top, but actually just incredible what's been happening there. And I was blown away the first time I saw it, and I've seen this a few times, and it's an incredible change. And like I said, it's almost harder to see when you don't know what Brantford was like. Growing up, the downtown was like a blight. Growing up, we'd see pictures from the 40s and 50s in this thriving downtown, and it felt so hard seeing the reality of our city, this failure. It used to be filled with cash converters, drug addiction, homelessness, strip clubs, and loads of boarded up buildings. And every year, someone in the council would have this great idea for a project to revitalize the downtown. And it never worked. There was this idea for this huge technology center, which was now sitting empty. There was an idea for a giant car park, and also sitting empty. And then my favorite was when they decided, you know what we should get? We should have a casino. That would revitalize the downtown. You'll be surprised to find out it did the exact opposite. It left our downtown even worse and people broken and in poverty. Now, one thing I should get out there, Brantford is not Chepstow. Brantford's about 10 times the size of Chepstow. And I believe that God has a unique vision for each and every community and city. And I believe God most definitely has a vision for Bulwark and Chepstow. And he has a vision to bless Bulwark and bless Chepstow through us. But I was inspired and buzzing with excitement from talking to Dave, because there are a lot of things that were really helpful to hear, and honestly, there were some challenging things as well that they encountered. So this is where my scattershot approach to listening and thinking comes in. I spoke to him for a couple hours, took down loads of notes, and our conversation went all over the place. I'm going to try and put it in order, but you'll have to do some of the work yourself. So the big overarching takeaway was this theme that ran through everything. And he said, if you don't hear anything else, is be a blessing to your city. At all times, they spoke life into the city, constantly building up the city and speaking life into it. And this is the same theme that runs through this book by Ed Silvoso. It really resonated with me. And actually, I love that we have these T-shirts, because they speak that life into the city. Love Bulwark and Thornwell. It's just, that's what our heart is already. And I love that. One of the other takeaways I had from the conversation was patience and consistency. So in his church, he had loads of people come and go over the years. They loved the philosophy and the vision, but when it got down to it, it didn't feel as glamorous in practice. In that video, Dave briefly talked about how they bought this abandoned bar and gave away hamburgers. Now, when I talked to him about this, he told me that the bar, like it said, used to be this hangout for drug dealers and prostitutes. And when the church moved in, that didn't change. Now, before they did anything as a church, they decided they would spend an entire year just worshiping God. And so they met, and they worshiped God and prayed. They didn't have any sermon. They didn't have any notice. They just came together to worship and pray. And now, at some point early on, while they were doing that, somebody had this picture that they needed to feed the people that were hanging around the bar. And like he said, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., every Friday for 9 years, they gave away burgers and hot dogs. Now, They gave away, they did this for about 2 years before anyone even noticed them. 2 years. I think in the video, they gave away 20,000 hamburgers and hot dogs. And now, one of the things that stood out, during this time, some of the more financially sound people started to feel uncomfortable, and they left the church because, you know, this doesn't add up. Giving away stuff, nothing coming in. But there was 2 years of being faithful, and it felt like there was no progress. And there was this line that Dave said to me that really stuck with me. He said, I had arguments with God because it felt like nothing was happening. And he felt like God spoke to him and said, you first need to do that which is closest to my heart. And that was feeding his people. And I love that. Now, and sometime after those 2 years, there was a municipal election, and some local politicians heard what was going on and thought it would be a great photo opportunity. They turned up, and all of a sudden the church started to see things come into place and favor started to turn up. There's some other things that I thought were great. So what was funny is that when I was speaking to him about some of the challenges they encountered, he said some of the bigger challenges they had came from other Christians. So one of the things they did as a church is they decided to start a radio station. He had a background in radio, and an opportunity presented himself, so he went with it. But on this new Christian radio station, they started to proclaim at the end of every show, Brantford, City of God. And because people were so used to Brantford being the butt of jokes and this horrible city, and they couldn't see Brantford like that, people didn't feel comfortable with it. They didn't like that they were proclaiming Brantford City of God. And those challenges came from other Christians. Now, and then around the same time, the church started to see favor poured on them from loads of places outside the church. One of the other things they did that I loved, the main pastor, Brian, he would take out to dinner business owners from around the local community just to bless them. His treat, no ulterior motive, it was just, I want to bless you guys, let's go to dinner. Now, one of the bigger business owners, somebody who, how you'd say, very rough around the edges, and a lot of people, other Christians tend to avoid him, brought him out, and after he'd been out for dinner, he said to him, I want to see your church, take me to your church. Brought him to the church, and as he looked around, he looked at it and he said, this is 14 housing units. And he didn't understand what he meant. And he said, this is 14 affordable housing units. And at that point, they were confused. But what had happened is God had given his vision for the church to this businessman who was outside of the church, didn't believe in God. And with his help, he worked alongside them, didn't take any of the money. They converted the church into 14 affordable housing units. And afterwards, he offered them 10 years rent-free in his giant abandoned building that was right in the center of downtown. They moved on, and now the church is actually working with the city to build 150 affordable housing units. This isn't for profit. There's a need for housing, and the city has seen what they've done, and they've partnered with the church. That's incredible. One other story spoke to me of how the church was transforming and blessing the city. So there was a man who wasn't a Christian, was a businessman, and he was challenged by what they were doing, by just feeding people. And he decided, I need to plant my business downtown. And it was an even bigger deal because he had been mugged badly, hospitalized, and he had a huge fear of the downtown. But by seeing the church stepping into the downtown, he felt like he could do this. And this was a huge catalyst for change. His business thrived, and all of a sudden, other businesses, seeing him do that, they planted their businesses. More and more favor kept being poured onto them as they tried to bless their city and bless the businesses. Like I said, this whole city slowly caught that vision, and all the churches through the city, they're working together for this bigger vision. They decided to bless the city with something called a Frosty Fair. It's like our fun day, but it was in February with snow and ice everywhere, and became such a big thing that the city built an ice rink in the downtown just for this Frosty Fair. They had secular bands put on concerts in aid of the church. Nothing to do with the church, they just wanted to bless them with money. But more than the financial improvements or the city looking nicer, people were encountering Jesus all the time. You heard that, 100 people being baptized in the city center, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. This is happening all the time. Now, midway and along through this journey, so Ed Silvoso, he's this transformation movement and author of this book, he came to this city and all the churches came together for this big transformation conference. The one thing that struck me about that was that he chose Brantford as his starting point, and he said that he felt like God wanted to choose this boring underdog of a city to bless the rest of Ontario and Canada. He wanted to almost show, look, I can do this here, I can do this anywhere, but I'm choosing Brantford. Now, one final thing that just amazed me about some of the things that were happening. So when I was growing up, we had the youngest mayor in the country. We were so proud. I was proud. Chris Friel, he was amazing. He was also one of our longest serving mayors. Now, a few years ago, Chris called up Dave out of the blue and just said, Jesus appeared to me in a dream and a vision. I've become a Christian. Just out of the blue. And he said, I want to give my testimony at the church. All the churches had been praying for and blessing their leaders constantly, just constantly. And guess what? Jesus showed up. He listened to them. They went on to hold a ceremony to dedicate the city to Jesus with the mayor there. Just incredible. Now, the final thing I asked him before he had to go is, so let's get practical. How big is your church? How many people have you got in your church? And he told me that, well, the numbers have gone up and down. They've stayed generally around 150 to 200 people. And I was like, what? I'll be honest, I was really surprised, but he said, it felt like God had continually just kept their numbers low because he wanted their church to be a picture for other churches to say, this is what's possible. Because if he had made their church grow to 500 or 1,000, I could easily discount and say, well, that church can do it. No other church could do that. It couldn't work for us. But, you know, the purpose of the church isn't to get more bums on seats. It's to bring people to Jesus. We're not serving our community to grow Bridge Church. We're serving our community to grow God's kingdom. And I want to come back to our vision to grow together and serve community. Everything that has happened in Brantford has come as a result of them focusing on blessing and serving their community and seeking God in prayer and worship. 20 years ago, there was a vision, and they held on to that vision to bless their city and transform their city. Brantford is not perfect. It still has loads of problems, but there's been a huge shift in the atmosphere in Brantford. You know, God has a vision to transform Chepstow. I had this overwhelming sense from speaking to Dave that God wants to encourage us as a church and that God wants to give us a picture of what's possible. God's plan for Bulwark and Thornwell is you and me. We don't need to be a big church or a rich church. We just need to be willing. We need to be willing to take risks and make mistakes. We need to be willing to turn up over and over and over and over again. We need to be as committed to our community as we are to our Sunday mornings. We meet here with a purpose, but our purpose is to go out there. You know, as part of our vision to serve our community, we want to build a kitchen. I love that. God's heart is for his people to be fed. But you know, I believe that's just the start. That's not the end point. That's just the start of where God's taking us. He has much bigger plans for us, and I am excited to see what God does in Bulwark and Thornwell through us as we grow together and serve our community. So I would urge you to pray, to ask that God would grow your vision for our community, and that he would inspire you and equip you. Where do you fit in this? What are your gifts and skills? If God's plan for Bulwark and Thornwell is you, what does that look like? What is he calling you to? So we are already in schools with TLG, helping mentor young people. We host the food bank, helping to feed our community. We've run fun days and events to bring life into Bulwark and Thornwell. We've blessed families with hampers. We've welcomed schools into our church at Christmas. We've got growing relationships with our community leaders. We are on a journey. And as we come out of COVID, I believe that God is positioning us to play a crucial role in the transformation of our community. So let's keep going. Let's be as prepared as we can in prayer and preparation for the next steps that God has. Let's be expectant. What if God's only plan for Bulwark and Thornwell was us? Every single one of us has a part to play. Every one of you has gifts and skills that were designed for this purpose, because ultimately, all of you were designed for this purpose, to transform nations and to make disciples of nations. And it starts here. So it's easy to come away from some of these things thinking, well, I don't have anything to offer. Don't let your self-esteem get in the way of what God wants to do through you. You are all essential. There are no spare parts in this church. We need all of you. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you need to lead loads of things or start committing endless hours. It means there's a place for you, whatever you can do and whatever you can give. So this week, I would challenge you, set aside some time and pray for our community and for our place as a church within it. Pray for our leaders in our community and pray that God would help you to see your part within it. So we're going to finish where we started. Jesus said that we would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and we would be witnesses to him in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray. Do you want to come up, Esther, and we'll sing? Lord Jesus, I pray that you would transform our nation. I pray that you would use us as a church to transform our community. I pray that we would be a blessing to our community. Continue to grow our vision, Lord. I pray that you'd reveal the part that you have for each of us in this. Meet with us this week as we look to you to transform our community. And thank you for the blessing you've already poured on us as a church. And I pray for more, Lord. I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us as you did in the book of Acts. Anoint us in a new way. In your name, Jesus. Amen.